Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Healthcare Consultants Podcast, brought to you by the Chicago Health Law and Professional Licensing Firm of Michael V. Favia and Associates. This is your host, Nick Augustine, and today our guest is Chicago employment attorney, Ms. Lori Goldstein. Lori Goldstein is a Chicago employment lawyer, and this episode of Favia's Law Firm's Healthcare Consultants Podcast, she explains current laws and issues regarding vaccine mandates affecting employers and employees. We're going to learn all about legal challenges to vaccine mandates and all the other issues that many people are talking about. Let's welcome our guest and say hello to Lori Goldstein.
Thank you, Nick. Thank you, everybody, for your attention and for your interest. I'm happy to be here.
All right. Well, I am glad to have a few minutes of your time because you are likely one of the most popular people in the room right now when people know what it is that you do for work, given everything that's been going on in the last almost 2 years.
Right. It's unbelievable. It's we never thought it would be this long, right? And we don't even know how long it will continue.
Exactly. So let's start with telling the folks at home what your roles are and what you do really as an employment lawyer, who you work for, you know, as your clients. Let's start with that and then get into all this good stuff about vaccine mandates.
Okay, sure. I have been an employment lawyer for 37 years. The first 27 years I spent at a couple of medium-sized law firms in downtown Chicago, working on the employer side. And 10 years ago, I started my own firm, went solo, and continued to represent employers and all of my employer clients, but I also added employees. So I now represent both sides, which is fairly unique. I don't represent any employees of my employer clients, but other than that, it gives me great perspective. So, and, you know, relating to COVID and other workplace issues, as we know, there's often two sides to the story, and this way I get to hear both sides, and whichever side I'm sitting on, I still understand the other side.
Yeah, it's very important, and it's one thing that we talk about, and we thank Michael V. Favia for being the host of this program, and when we talk about his work in healthcare law and regulation that he was a prosecutor for, the Illinois Department of Professional Regulation on his end, and then also now does defense of people with their issues in healthcare and license and regulation. So knowing both sides is similar to how we think of someone being at the state's attorney's office and then being in criminal defense. So I think that's really an important point for people to understand, that being able to look at things from both sides and have an objective view on things. So having said that, let's jump right into my first point is, what are the current laws and guidance, they're federal and as also state laws in Illinois and based in Chicago, that regarding the emergency testing standards, OSHA, and everything going on with the laws?
Well, I mean, we'll start out with, you know, the main question, which is, can employers mandate vaccines? Can they require employees to prove that they're vaccinated? And the short answer is yes, under two circumstances. One is when a law mandates that employers do that, subject to certain exemptions, which we'll talk about, or when the law allows employers or is basically silent on whether they can, and employers can even be stricter than what the law say if they want to protect workers and customers and others in the workplace, again, subject to these exemptions. So individuals still have to follow the state and local laws that apply where in their locations, and individuals still have to follow rules that are established by businesses and workplaces. So if you're going to the theater or a restaurant, you have to follow their rules. If you're an employee at a workplace, you have to follow their rules. There are a few state laws, Florida, Montana, and Texas currently, that either prohibit vaccine mandates, so prohibit employers and schools and others from mandating the vaccine, or have severe limitations, basically give employees and individuals many different reasons, exceptions for why they don't have to have it. So currently, We have federal mandates in place. In July, the Department of Veterans Affairs became the first federal agency to require healthcare workers to get vaccinated. And a few weeks later, U.S. service members were required to get vaccinated by September and could be punished for refusing unless they had valid exemptions for health or religious beliefs, which we'll talk about in a minute. And then both the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, which is the federal agency that enforces federal discrimination, disability accommodation laws, the EEOC, as well as the Department of Labor, have both said that employers can mandate vaccines of their employees and subject to two exemptions. So those exemptions are if somebody is entitled to a reasonable accommodation for either a disability reason or a religious reason. And there are state and local employment discrimination and disability laws as well, and they're pretty similar, so they're parallel. We know that the U.S. Supreme Court has upheld mandating vaccines for over 100 years. We know that per the EEOC, companies can lawfully mandate COVID vaccines of their employees and of applicants. And they can also ask them if they've been vaccinated. They can require proof. They have to keep the information confidential. So it doesn't mean everybody in the workplace knows who and who isn't vaccinated. And so in terms of the disability accommodations, disability laws require employers to provide reasonable accommodation to an employee that has a disability if it would enable that employee to perform the essential functions of their job, unless it would either cause undue hardship to the company, which basically means very difficult or very expensive, or it would cause a direct threat to the health or safety of the employee or others at the workplace. So this is the general law for accommodations under disability laws. And individuals, employees should communicate basically with HR. These should be confidential communications. They don't get spread throughout the company. Any medical records that an employer gets has to be kept in a separate confidential file apart from the employee's personnel file. And then a company has to engage in interactive communications with an employee when they've requested an accommodation to see whether there's one that can be made, if it would work. An employer does not have to grant an accommodation if it wouldn't work, or any accommodation if it wouldn't work. They don't have to give the specific accommodation requested. And generally, these are temporary. They're not long-term, indefinite accommodations. So we have seen employees now requesting accommodations to be exempt from the COVID vaccine because of a valid medical reason. So just as with any other accommodation request, the employee needs to provide medical documentation, something from their doctor that validates why they are not able to get the medical vaccine. And it can't be a letter that basically says, my patient is unable, medically unable to get the vaccine. There has to be specifics, a diagnosis, some basic reasons as to why they can't get the vaccine. And we know that there are doctors who are refusing to give these certificates because unless they feel that there's a clear basis, they're not just handing them out. They are concerned with their ethical obligations as professionals. They're not certifying people because they're pregnant or of childbearing age. They're actually recommending that they get the vaccine. On the other hand, there may be many doctors who feel the other way. And so as we know, in all circumstances, an employee can often get a doctor to write the note that they want to write. So once the note goes to the employer, they have to talk to the employee and figure out if it's valid, if there's a reasonable accommodation that can be made. Many employers are denying the vaccine exemption because it wouldn't eliminate a direct threat to the health or safety of others. They feel that even if we let this person come in with a mask, we don't feel that it's safe, especially in certain venues like healthcare. So if somebody can't get the vaccine, the work can't be done remotely, and there's no safe way for them to be at the workplace, an employee might get a paid or an unpaid leave of absence for a certain duration, but these won't last forever. We've already seen that happening since last year. Or they might get fired because there's no accommodation that would enable them to perform the job. So that's the disability accommodation part. I guess I'll see if there's any questions on that before I get to the religious exemptions.
No, go ahead. You're doing a great job.
Okay. So then the second exemption is a religious exemption, which under the law, the legal definition is a sincerely held religious belief, practice, or observance that prevents you from receiving the COVID vaccine. And for understandable reasons, employers are wary of wading into trying to assess questions of an employee's religion and personal belief. It's a sensitive area. This is new for a lot of companies to even have this as an issue. So the statutes provide some guidance for employers with a test with certain factors to decide, does an employee have a sincerely held religious belief? And the factors are whether the employee has behaved in a manner that's inconsistent with what they're claiming now is their professed belief, whether the accommodation they're seeking is a particularly desirable benefit that would be sought for secular reasons as opposed to religious, whether the timing of the request is appropriate or is it suspicious. For example, the employee first requested to be exempt from the vaccine because they didn't believe in the vaccine or they had some personal reasons, and that was denied. And so now they come in with this religious belief. So that's an issue. And then another factor is, does the employer have any other reason to believe that the accommodation is not being sought for religious reasons? Again, this is really, you know, a difficult assessment for employers to do. In late October, the EEOC issued some guidance for employers on handling these religious exemption requests. So they emphasized three main points. Employees and applicants need to inform the employer if they're seeking an exception based on the religious exemption. The law, Title VII, and we know that state and local laws are similar, requires employers to consider these requests. So they have to consider requests for religious accommodations, but this does not protect social, political, or economic views or personal preferences of employees who are just seeking exceptions to the requirement on that basis. And the third point is that employers who can show undue hardship are not required to accommodate the request for an accommodation. So we know that Title VII, the federal law that EEOC enforces, covers employers that have 15 or more employees. So there are many small employers that are not covered by it. But most employers are covered by state and or local laws that usually cover employers with one or more employee. Some of them you need to have four or five employees. And whether the same principles that EEOC is applying would be applied by those state agencies or those local agencies, you know, probably depends on the location, the laws in that state, the philosophies of those decision makers. So we think and we've seen a lot of employers trying to avoid this difficult question on religious belief and really rely on the undue hardship or the direct threat argument, which is, it's even if I allow this exemption, even if I believe, even if this is a true religious belief and would warrant an exemption, it's not a reasonable accommodation for me to let them come back to the workplace without being vaccinated. So those are the requirements or the laws that allow employers to do this. We also have the Supreme Court, which has upheld vaccine mandates for over 100 years. So the first time was in 1905. They upheld smallpox vaccine mandates by states, by state governments. And this was under their the state's police powers to protect citizens. And then 15 years later or so, they upheld a smallpox vaccine mandate for students. They were arguing that the 14th Amendment's protection of due process prevented the government from requiring this. And again, the Supreme Court said, no, the states have police power to protect their citizens, and that overrides the 14th Amendment. So most recently, we now know that the Supreme Court has rejected challenges to state and university COVID vaccine mandates for students and for their workers. We see a lot of large companies jumping on board mandating vaccines with tough consequences for refusing. And we hear about a lot of large layoffs. So we know that the Occupational Safety and Health Act Administration, OSHA, which enforces safety and health in the workplace, has issued guidance for employers in the past, but guidance does not equal law. These are just recommendations. They're not mandates. They can't be enforced with penalties. And unless you have an OSHA standard or an actual executive order, it's not the law. Even the CDC guidance is not the law. And so many employers decide that they're only going to follow the law. And if something is not required, they're not going to do it. So then let's get to the OSHA Emergency Temporary Standard, the ETS. In September, we know President Biden unveiled a plan that would require private employers with 100 or more employees and other businesses to require vaccines and otherwise weekly testing. That was the big requirement. It would be effective January 4th, and to implement it, he instructed OSHA to create an emergency temporary standard, which was issued on November 4th. The following day, the first lawsuit came challenging it, and a federal judge in Louisiana put a hold on and a stay on the ETS. So if the ETS had not been stayed, the first deadline already passed. Companies had until December 5th to create a vaccination policy, to determine each employee's vaccination status, to implement a mask mandate for anybody not vaccinated, and to start reporting any work-related COVID hospitalizations and deaths. And then by January 4th, employees would either have to be fully vaccinated, again, subject to those two exemptions, or begin weekly COVID testing. So this was going to apply, again, to employers with 100 or more employees, only to the ones working on site, not to remote employees. Companies would have to provide paid time off to get the vaccine as well as to recover from it. And businesses that didn't comply would be facing $14,000 penalty per violation, so basically for each employee that they didn't require this, didn't impose the mandate on. Plan would also apply to health facilities, workers in hospitals, nursing homes, and facilities that receive Medicaid or Medicare reimbursement. And it also would require federal employees to be fully vaccinated with no option for weekly testing. And it also extended to schools so that any educational programs in schools funded or run by the federal government would have to vaccinate all of their employees. And this has happened in some of the states already. So we've had proponents and opponents of the vaccine mandate. The proponents say that getting more Americans vaccinated will help the country get back to normal sooner. We've seen that vaccine mandates in the workplace have led to more people getting vaccinated. And many proponents say that there's research showing that getting vaccinated is good for the economy. In terms of the OSHA standard, the proponents say that OSHA has the authority to act quickly in an emergency when the agency finds that workers are subjected to grave danger and a new standard is necessary to protect them. And they argue that a court should not stop or delay safety rules in a health crisis, that nobody has the right to go into a workplace unmasked, unvaxxed, and untested, and that unelected judges that have no scientific experience should not be second-guessing the health and safety professionals at OSHA. On the con side, the argument is that a federal mandate is beyond the authority of the government, that workers should have a say on their own vaccination status, and these states, you know, the few states that have even banned employers from issuing vaccine mandates because of privacy and personal rights. We also have reports of employees quitting their jobs rather than getting the shot, which is leading to labor shortages, you know, labor shortages we already have from COVID in general, from the Great Resignation and things like that. So this injunction that was entered in early November, it was based on a lawsuit by a group of businesses, several state attorney generals, and religious groups who basically said the administration had overstepped its authority. And the ETS right now is blocked, and written comments on the ETS are now due to be submitted by January 19th. So anybody out there who is interested in commenting on it, you are entitled to do that. And it acts as a proposal for a permanent standard, so we know legally whether it will be upheld. It will be upheld on a permanent basis. So that was stayed. We then had a stay of the portion of the mandate that required healthcare providers accepting Medicare and Medicaid funding to enforce the vaccine. And then we also had a third stay by a court on the federal contractors, although that only applies in the states that brought the lawsuit, which is Kentucky, Ohio, and Tennessee. We think that these stays and these different lawsuits may all be combined into one, but so far they haven't. And if it's ultimately upheld, it'll be a battle between the federal mandate and stricter rules that we have in certain states that are opposed to the mandate. The argument is that the federal mandate would preempt any state or local requirements that would limit an employer's authority to require vaccination or masks or testing. That in a long nutshell, those are the laws that we're talking about.
All right. So there's a lot to unpack there, and I think that that's a very good roadmap for where this all works and presents, you know, different opinions on different sides. What, if anything, is being said about the FDA's initial emergency use authorization? Because that's a question I hear frequently. And then what can you tell us about some of the wrongful termination things? Are you getting calls for those? You know, what's happening with those suits? Do people go forward with these, or are people just waiting to find out more of what happens in the courts higher up?
Right, right. Good questions. I mean, you know, the emergency use authorization from the FDA, it's more of a scientific question than a legal or employment question. It's not, you know, it's not really unique because we've had government mandated vaccines for years and upheld by the Supreme Court. We already had OSHA issuing an emergency standard on COVID for high-risk industries, which was last year, and that is still valid and still in place. So based on the science, what OSHA's website says is that this standard is necessary because since January 2020, nearly 745,000 U.S. citizens, many of them workers, have died from COVID, that workers are continually becoming seriously ill and dying as a result of the occupational exposures. And they expect that this ETS will result in 23 million individuals becoming vaccinated, preventing over 6,500 deaths and 250,000 hospitalizations. So there's the, you know, the technical scientific background to it. And in terms of legal challenges, we've had, we already had wrongful termination lawsuits starting last year based on employers that would fire employees because they were refusing to return to the workplace. So before we even had vaccines, and many employers were, you know, being very understanding and putting people on furlough or unpaid or paid leave, and some people were at home and collecting unemployment, and it was fine temporarily until, you know, everybody realized this is not going away anytime soon. And while the government kept extending the unemployment benefits, which was helpful, and the PPP loans, which was helpful. But at some point, employers needed to get their employees back to work. And it's really been a tight balancing. And since I work on both sides, you know, I feel for these employees who have a medical condition, lifelong. It hasn't gone away just because, you know, it's been 6 months since COVID started. I mean, I saw this start last summer in 2020. Nurses that were being asked to come back to work now after being allowed to stay out for 3 months. And again, they still had the same medical condition. There was still COVID. There was no vaccine. There was still risk. So those risks hadn't gone away. Yet on the employer side, we need people back to work. So we're going to make it a safe workplace. We're going to have masks and social distancing. And as long as it's safe, we need you back. So there were a lot of wrongful termination suits that employers have been winning because the employees did not have a reasonable basis to refuse to return to work. And along with that, the employees were not getting unemployment benefits because they're considered as refusing a suitable offer of employment. And again, it depends on state to state. But if you didn't return to work, not only did you lose your job, you wouldn't get unemployment. And really, for some employees who did have a choice and didn't have medical reasons, they could or could not go back. Many did go back or found remote jobs. But for those who still medically can't go back, you know, there isn't much they could do. They now need to look for remote types of jobs. And now we're seeing the litigation that's trying to prevent employers from mandating vaccines and from disciplining or firing employees because they refuse to get vaccinated other than, you know, the valid exemptions. So I think the first lawsuit that we heard about was in April. Houston Methodist Hospital became one of the first hospitals in the country to require its employees to be vaccinated. And their rule was, we could fire you if you're not vaccinated unless you have a medical or religious exemption. And they had 117 staffers sue them, claiming it was illegal, that this was, they were making them get an experimental vaccine to keep their jobs. And in June, a federal judge dismissed the case, said that the hospital did not do anything illegal, that the claims about the vaccine were false, that he believed the science. The employees have since appealed that, so that's now on appeal, I believe. But there are similar cases all across the country. I know there have been several in Illinois where I practice. There are some in southern area of Illinois, rural Illinois, where the courts are against vaccines and are against the employers mandating them. So they are upholding employee rights. And then we have others. We had an injunction recently in Chicago against North Shore University Health System, where a court had put a temporary restraining order on mandating the employees to get vaccinated. And this is in a healthcare system. However, recently the court said that the healthcare system can fire these employees And if they later prove that the vaccine mandate was illegal and they shouldn't have been fired, they'll get their lost pay and benefits. So it's all over the place, but it's keeping a lot of attorneys busy.
That's right. Well, you know, it's the as we talk about a lot of these issues, and I've heard a lot of talk from people on both sides of the coin, and I will say that it is great to live in a free country where we have the judicial system there for us. We have access to courts, and people can sue, and we can all work together in figuring out all of this stuff. No one expected a novel coronavirus. And I think it's wonderful that so many people are learning more and more about the laws and more, and it's an unfortunate situation, of course, but I think that it's good that people are learning, and, you know, as time goes on, you know, we'll see that, you know, at the end of the day, no one's forcing anyone to be employed somewhere, and there's a lot of folks who are self-employed, and if they find that being self-employed or working remotely is the best deal for them, then, you know, I say God bless them, that's a great thing, you know, it's, there are lots of options there, you know, so it's, you know, and I so much want to thank you for your time for unpacking a lot of this. You know, what is my final question is, what do you get, you know, what do you tell people when you've got people calling you as an employment lawyer and saying, you know, I don't know what to do?
Are you talking employees or employers? Or
either way.
Both?
I mean, either way, you probably get the calls from both.
Right, right. We do. I mean, because we know that, you know, employers are obviously they want to follow the, well, most employers want to follow the rules. Some want to be even more strict than the rules, but they're concerned about losing employees and the economic effect on labor shortage and the impact on employee relations. Because, as I said, whether or not somebody's vaccinated is between, you know, HR and the employee, and others aren't supposed to know it. But if you have to wear a mask because you're unvaccinated, then people are going to know, you know, it's not going to be a secret. And there may be people that discriminate or retaliate against others because they are or aren't vaccinated. Some people may not want to go to work because they know there are unvaccinated workers. So I think that businesses, from the business side, they have to balance, you know, their own position on mandates and personal principles versus the risk of workers' comp cases, wrongful death lawsuits if employees contract COVID at the workplace, or and the rights of employees to work without a direct threat to their health and safety, as well as the employer's duty to, you know, to have a safe and healthy workplace and the risk of OSHA claims. So I have told employers to, they need policies right now. I mean, they need to decide right now how they want to handle, you know, schedules, protocols for the workplace, whether people can work fully remotely or hybrid, all of those logistics, whether you're going to mandate or incentivize vaccines, encourage vaccines, and then you have to have policies and forms for people to screen them, whether or not they're vaccinated, and to tell them how you're going to deal with whether or not they are, forms for requesting exemptions. On the employee side, I've had many calls from employees essentially asking me if I can get them out of the vaccine. And what I tell them basically what I've said today, you know, these are the laws. If you have a reasonable basis for a medical or a religious exemption, go for it. Follow the rules. Go for the exemption. If you don't, you may have a difficult time getting an exemption or getting any kind of accommodation, and be prepared to be disciplined, suspended, get fired, not get unemployment, and think about the big picture.
Right. It's very good to hear that there are lawyers like you out there who can handle all this stuff on an objective basis, tell people, here's what's available, here are your options, your choices, because it seems like too often people are so polarized on one end of the spectrum or the other, And the credibility sometimes can suffer that way. So it's good to maintain an objective
yep.
view on this. And, you know, here's what the law is right now. Here's what policies are. And I'm always a big fan of, you know, employers making policies and making their best efforts at doing, you know, doing their due diligence and trying to do the right thing instead of digging your heels in the sand and saying, I'm not doing anything. So, and I'm sure that you,
right.
And we all hear about, like, there's all, people are all over the spectrum on that. So as time goes on, I mean, time will tell. That's all we can do is, you know, the one good advice, a bit of advice I received from a friend who was an employer a long time ago, was you just got to keep up, got to keep getting up and going to work every day. And every day has new things. New things can happen in the world. And, you know, we just never know what's out there. So you just got to keep
right.
keeping on as best
right.
you can.
Try to be flexible and resilient, and education, you're right, is most important. Stay educated. Follow
girl,
the
stay educated.
Press,
and,
you know.
Well, and as well, you know, that what we're learning, you know, when we talk about science, I always like my youngest brother is an environmental geologist, and he likes to talk about things, and because he gets a lot of questions about things involving scientific studies, research, and methods. And science is an evolving thing, and knowledge is an evolving thing. So we always are learning more, and I hope that through all of the challenges that people have, you know, been presented with COVID and everything, that we will learn so much from this that it will help us all as a society moving forward. So those are my hopes. So for people who want to get involved, people who want to get more information from you, maybe an employer wants assistance with crafting a policy that makes sense for everyone, or employees with their questions, what's the best way for people to get in touch with you?
Sure. My website is LoriGoldsteinLaw.com. My email address is lori.a.goldstein@gmail.com. You can reach me at 847-624-6640. And it's the law office of Lori A. Goldstein, LLC. And I so appreciate the opportunity to talk with you today. Thank you to Nick
absolutely.
And Mike.
You know, and Mike knows everyone, and I'm just the guy who's lucky enough to interview all these great people and find all this great information and help pay that forward. So it's always a pleasure, and thank you again for your time. And when and if there are, you know, seasonal updates, you know, we'd love to have you back. And I mean, because I think that this is something that's not going away anytime soon. So, but I thank you for your time in the interim
Indeed.
For sure.
Thank you. Thanks so much, and happy holidays.
All right. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.